Hey folks, it's Alan. How are you? I hope you're doing well. Now you may be looking in your feed and going, huh? A chats episode on a Wednesday afternoon? That's really weird. Well, I'm here to explain it to you. Recently, I had a chance to speak to my friend Harry, who is a contributor to Scan9 Media and a wonderful pal, and we talked about American Born Chinese, because that new Disney Plus adaptation of the original graphic novel just came out, and Harry was itching to discuss it. He doesn't have a regular podcast gig of his own, but he's a regular contributor to other people's podcasts, OPPs, if you will. And I had to get him on because Harry is very funny, very smart, and has just, I think, is a strong critic and doesn't really always get the opportunity to speak his mind about these things in a podcast platform. So this is going to be a two-part series where we discuss American Born Chinese. In this first part, we're talking the graphic novel and our initial impressions from the first two episodes of the Disney Plus show. And whenever we get a chance to record the second one, that'll be about the rest of the TV show. So those will be your sort of spoiler barriers. We're talking about the book in this, the graphic novel, and then we're talking about episodes one and two. And next time, I don't know when that'll be coming out, but it'll be the rest of the show. So I hope you enjoy it. Please give us some feedback if you want to hear more things like this where, you know, maybe just Magellan or just I or whatever. We cover different types of shows with different people that may not fit into the traditional chats format. Harry and I considered making this a sort of should you watch, but we wanted it to be less of a recommending the show or not to people and more of a let's dive into what this show is doing different culturally and through thematically than the book is. So that's where this came from. We hope you enjoy it. Again, please let me know what you think from all the usual channels. I'm not going to do a usual chats plug zone because this is an off-the-cuff thing, but that's my explanation, and please enjoy my conversation with Harry about American-born Chinese. Special episode of Chats a Television Podcast. I'm one of your usual co-hosts, Alan, and today I'm not joined by Magellan to discuss two episodes of a cult classic TV show, but instead I'm here to talk about a book and its adaptation with my friend Harry. Hi, Harry.
Hi, it's me. I love this book. It's integral to my childhood.
Oh, man. Well, tell the folks what we're talking about today.
So, like me, it's called American Born Chinese by Jean Luen Yang. I think I said that properly.
Sure. I'm not going to correct you. this is your ballpark, buddy. So Harry, good friend of mine via the Scanline Media folks, the extended chats universe of family and friends. We've known each other for about 6 years. And Harry, tell me a little bit about your background, just for context.
I'm from the East Coast. I'm a Taiwanese American. And I love to ball. The last part's not true.
Ball is life. You like to play fighting games and League of Legends. So you would probably be friends with Wei Chen if given the opportunity.
Yeah, totally.
I think. We're talking American-born Chinese. This we kind of envisioned. We talked about how we want to cover this because the Disney Plus adaptation of this book just came out very recently. I believe it was May 24th, 2023. And it's early June when we're recording this. So, Harry expressed interest in podcasting about it in some sort of detail, so we're envisioning this as a multi-part thing. To start, though, we want to talk about what it's adapting. So the original 2006 graphic novel. Harry, can we start by you giving me just a little bit of history? When did you first read the book, and why was it influential?
I think I read it in like 2008 at my local library because I love comic books and it was free. And it's kind of interesting because I think it was published in like 2006 or 7, but like early, like,
06.
06, so like middle 2000s. And like, I have never really seen anything at the time, you know? It was a book dealing with like Chinese mythology and like Chinese like issues and all that. I felt really seen because there had been nothing really before this or after this, basically.
Yeah, and especially at its time, it was very unique in that way. I was enraptured by this story when I first read it in high school. Actually, we had a comic book class for some reason in my high school. We had like just a comic books and fiction class. It was really great. We read like Understanding Comics and this and like Mouse and Logic Comics. So we read a lot of really great stuff in that class. But we read American War Chinese. And I got to tell you, reading this book as a high schooler, with especially like a very, 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 very white high school that I went to in like South Shore, Massachusetts, it's like, all we did was make like joke about it, and we were like, oh, this seems really smart, but we don't really get it. And I reread it like a week ago getting ready for this podcast, and it's fucking smart, man. It's a really smart, sharp novel, graphic novel. It's basically three seemingly separate tales that converge at the end in some fun, clever ways that we'll be talking about. So we're gonna be spoiling the graphic novel, just to be clear for folks. It's from 2006. You can get it anywhere. It's at every library. It's very much in circulation in like the United States. So definitely read it. I'll tell you that for now. But the first primary story is a retelling of part of the classic Chinese novel Journey to the West. So it's the story of the Monkey King, who despises his monkey identity and wishes to become more like a human so that he can look like the rest of the gods. And it is about him trying to adjust and realizing that everybody thinks that he's just cooler and better and nicer as a monkey.
Can I just say that it is very, very, you know, clever and like such a nice thing to like reinterpret one of the great like Chinese historical novels into like its own Asian American spin of like, you know, like you may be a king, a deity, but you're still a monkey in relation to like, you know, you could be as American as you want, but people will still see you as like Asian.
Correct. Yeah, you had mentioned like when we were talking about things that we want to dive into with this podcast, like for yourself, that problem of identity, the struggle of like wanting to be, to not be Asian sometimes, and then as an adult learning to appreciate it. I think myself as like the child of like Syrian immigrants, I was often like, I got teased for the food that I would eat at least, right? Like I didn't look that different. So I had that level of like physical privilege for sure. But like I got like teased heavily for bringing just like pita sandwiches to lunch and eating weird fish and stuff that I'm like, in hindsight, I'm like, I had better food than all of you motherfuckers.
Yeah. And they show that in the first early chapters with Jin Wang, the character who moves from like San Francisco to nondescript white America. And he gets bullied for like, you know, dumplings, for bringing dumplings to school. And it's hard to relate.
And it's amazing now, like the context that we have in 2023, and this is going to be relevant when we talk about the adaptation, but how much like Asian cuisine and Asian culture has been co-opted by the West to be like trendy exotic food. Like white girls love dumplings, dude, you know. They really appreciate like dumplings and boba and pho. It's like, oh my god. And it's like, motherfucker, you all were getting bullied for this.
Well, it's always kind of interesting too, where it's like there's always this kind of like line of like weird acceptability of like what is even during the Asian like cuisine kind of thing. It's like, what is like, there's always a line between like, oh, I will eat like, you know, dumplings and boba, but like chou tofu or stinky tofu, like count me the fuck out, you know. Or right. Like, you know, like some other like weird shit that people don't like. People don't like or I guess there's some example that you probably have, or like, you know, you'll show like somebody like some Syrian cuisine of like, you know, some like acceptability towards white people, but like some people like there has to be a meal or something that like you don't show to other, like people who aren't Arabic, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. I watched a YouTube video recently where this guy, he's like a Swedish travel YouTuber who went to Syria a couple months ago, and like it was like pretty sad, you know, like there's the state of affairs in the country is like kind of rough, but when he got to the food, he was like, this is better than anything I've ever had. And it's like, yeah, motherfucker, and we don't tell you about it because it's ours. Like gibbe is wonderful. It's a fucking meat sphere, or you can serve it as a pie, or you can serve it as raw meat, and it's got sesame in it, and it's got all the best spices, grape leaves wrapped around meat. Amazing. We know how to cook, and we've spent years hiding that because people tease us for it. They think it's weird. They think it's disgusting. I used to always tell my parents to never make me that stuff for lunch. I like literally, this is a thing in the book and in the show, in these the first two episodes that we watched, where they're like, mom, can you just make me sandwiches? And I totally fucking did that. And I'm like, oh man, I like denied my palate for so long. So I think like food and culture come up in American Born Chinese a lot, and in all three of these stories, right?
Right.
That's kind of the one of the connecting threads.
And you want to talk? I guess since I have you know, the C word pass, I guess we'll talk about the third story in the graphic novel, where it's like this white kid Danny who his racist stereotype kinky cousin comes from China every
That's the
year.
Name of the character. That is the name of the character.
Okay, yeah.
Just to be clear for folks.
He's like, you know, a coolie laborer, kind of like Manchu, Qing China kind of guy, you know, talks with an Asian accent, implies to eat cats, you know, like the worst stereotypes you've ever seen. And he comes in and ruins this kid's, Danny's life every single year, and he has to move schools.
Right. And we don't know what's up with his cousin for a while. I briefly touched on it. The middle story, the kind of like heart of American Born Chinese, is Jin Wang's story. Like you mentioned, like the cousin coming over, Wei Qin, and his dating problems. Oh, why can't my cousin stop being weird? This and the Danny story start to blend weirdly. And you're like, what's going on there? And it's eventually revealed. This is not a long graphic novel, so we don't spend a ton of time with any of them before it's like, oh, Wei Qin, is it? Let me try and get the
Jin Wang is the main protagonist of the second story, and
he's Danny.
Yeah. So there's this very, very big theme around the novel of like transformation and change, and it's like the Chinese word bian, which is to change, right? And one of the central themes, like, it's easy to become anything you want as you forfeit your soul. So essentially, Jin wants to like date this girl, and she's white, and he kind of fucks everything up, but like he just like, well, like, you know what, I want to be white, and he changes his like identity to be white, and he like ostracizes his friend Wei Qin, who is secretly the son of the Monkey King.
Yeah.
And so essentially the Monkey King comes down as kinky, the Asian stereotype, and kind of reminds him of who he was and who he should be, you know.
Embrace your culture, you know. If you know, you can turn it on them. Don't let them make a stereotype out of you. Be your own self, basically, and learning to self-actualize.
And here's the thing. I will defend Chinky till the day I die. This is 2006. It's not very, like, recent. This is, like, 15 years ago, you know? This was, like...
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I also think that's what, like, America will see Asian Americans no matter what. Like, a coolie laborer stereotype. I like how hard this hits, because it's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. But it's like, it's the quiet part said out loud, essentially, you know? Like, this is what people think Asian Americans were for the longest time. Of like, oh yeah, they eat dogs. They want to fuck American white bitches. It's like, you know, it's literally yellow peril. And
they dress a certain way. They all look a certain way.
They have buck teeth, you know? Like, I think one of the most prescient scenes was like, you know, Chinky singing like that American Idol. Like that was like that.
Oh, the William Hung song.
Yeah, it's a reference to like basically one of the only appearances by Asian Americans in general in, you know, media, and that was it.
Yeah, William Hung, for those who don't know, was an American Idol contestant back in 2004. So like super contemporary, who was completely ridiculed like for being a weird Asian guy who had a funny accent, and that was the gag, and we all thought that was totally fine in 2004. And he's singing like a I believe it's a Ricky Martin song, and so Chinky does that character, and this is like the core of American Chinese. The book is how you feel about the character of Chinky and the identity of like the Asian identity of it all, right? It's like it should make you uncomfortable to say that, to read that name on paper. Jin Lanyang himself is American-born Chinese and, like, knows that you're going to feel weird about that.
And I think it's
sharp.
Yeah, it's really neat how it's, like, literally the first intro you get is, like, him as a sitcom. And they do this, too, in the show. But, yeah, he's, like, as a sitcom character, there's, like, a laugh track every time he shows up on screen. And it's, like, well, that's, like, the yellow minstreldom of Chinky, you know? Like, you're supposed to laugh at him. You're supposed to see that's all he is, essentially.
Yeah, and I think what works about this book is it's very simple. It's like a very simple read with a lot of depth to its like commentary. Like it's a book you can or a graphic novel you could read in like 30 minutes, honestly, if you just like go through it. The art is very simple. I love the art style. It reminds me of like 2000s like Cartoon Network cartoons, like a Dexter's Lab or like Genndy Tartakovsky style, Samurai Jack, that era. But everyone's super expressive, and like culturally they draw everybody in a very easy to understand way. So I think it's like, this is the kind of book you could give to an elementary school kid, and they would know what's happening in the plot, even if they don't understand the sort of cultural references of it all.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of the, you know, in the contemporary Jin Wong story, it hits a lot harder. It hits really hard, you know? They just straight up call him a chink, like a lot of the school kids, a lot of the, like, you know, characters. Like, there's this one very prescient thing of, like, you know, these three Asian characters, like, Wei Chen, his girlfriend, and Jin all hanging out, goofing around, and he's like, oh, it's getting a little nippy in here, you know?
Yeah,
and it's like, it just makes him feel, like, incredibly embarrassed to be Asian, just to be Asian in this country, you know? There's this another scene where, like, Susie talks about, like, how, like, being, like, how she like, gets invited to, there's, like, Susie Nakamura, like, an Asian-American character that's, like, dating Wei Chen. But, like,
Wei Chen. Mm-hmm.
She talks about she's going to a party and, like, gets invited just because, like, her mom's friends with another mom. And she spent the entire time in, like, you know, another room just watching TV. And she makes a point of, like, yeah, that's how I feel, like, all the time. And, like, it's undercut.
I'm a pity invite.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's how, like, you know, I don't think that, you know, anecdote and, like, that kind of experience can be, you know, related without the actual racism that the show provides, you know, or, like, the, you know, living in America provides. It, like, it is, it goes hard and it cuts to the core of, like, you know, what it was like and it still kind of is like, you know, being Asian in America. Like, there's a scene in the Danny story with, like, Shin-Ki where he's like, oh, yeah, do you wash your hands? Like, you might get SARS. And we just saw 3 years of that, of, like, calling it the China virus.
Right, implying, like, absolutely.
Asian people eat, like, you know, disgusting, like, bats, and, like, and Asian, like, Chinatowns and everywhere have been, like, not getting as much foot traffic because that's what people are scared of.
Yeah, I think that, like, anti-Asian sentiment has definitely bubbled up in a much more significant, like, pop cultural way, and that's where, you know, so much, and in a real life, like, the Stop Asian Hate movement is making people realize, like, it is just not safe to, like, exist as an Asian person in the United States. And meanwhile, right, the pandemic that affected all of our lives majorly for 3 years was often just portrayed as, like, yep, that's them. They did it. It's not our fault. And we're not the ones responsible for any of it. And it's like, you know, people read American-born Chinese in 2023 and you think, oh, this is so simple. This racism is so basic. It's not like this anymore. And it's like, I mean, that's kind of the point, is that we don't think it's like this and it's masked in different ways.
It was like that for me growing up. And I'm not that, like, old, you know? Like, this happened
to
me.
No, you're a Zoomer.
Yeah, this happened to me, like, growing up in, like, a predominantly white part of insert city name here, you know?
Yeah.
It is very, I don't know, this is my own personal experience, but I was like, wow, I wish I could be white, you know? Like, I feel like a lot of people, like, of color in this country kind of, I mean, I'm speaking for myself here, but I do feel like some people have always had that kind of thought of, like, oh, wouldn't it be easier if I was white?
Yeah. It's an idea that's portrayed in so much media, right? Like, and even in this time, I mean, like, the whole idea of racial swapping, we like, white chicks, say what you will about how weird that movie is this idea of, like, you know, how could I navigate the world differently as a white woman? What would that change about my privilege and stuff? Not to say that white chicks is, like, high art, but it's interesting, and it exists for a thought-provoking reason, right? And I think American-born Chinese also sits there where, like, it is easy for us to go, like, oh, this is so simple and dumb and whatever. But it's like you're saying, Harry, we have that privilege because, like, I'm, you know, white passing. I didn't experience this specific type of racism. So to me, when I first read American-born Chinese in high school, I was like, this is unrealistic. It's not that bad. Racism is over. Come on now.
One of my favorite subplots, because of, like, how, like, insidious it is, that hit me harder, like, now, where it was, like, I didn't get it when I was 12, but, like, you know, Jin Wong falls for, like, a American white girl named Amelia, right? And her friend, Greg, who's also a white guy, like, comes up to him after, like, a kind of a successful, like, movie date with Amelia. And it's like, I don't think you're right for her, you know? I just want her, we're going to high school and, like, you know, can do me the favor of not dating her. Like, she wants to be, like, you know, careful of who she, like, associates with.
Yes.
And it's, like, I think that's kind of an interesting... It's, like, innocuous, but it's also very malicious, you know? Like, mm-hmm. like it's very much implying, like, what your status in, like, you know, America is of, like, you're not the right kind of people to date. And I don't know. The character in Greg in the show is a lot more, you know, actively problematic. But I thought that, like, scene in the graphic novel hit really hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right before we talk about the show, I want to just go a little bit deeper on the Monkey King plotline. Because I think that, especially for cultures like ours, like, history is super duper important, and myths and storytelling is incredibly important to our culture and how we pass them down. And to take the Monkey King story and not like retell it a la Dragon Ball, which is in the TV show, by the way, Jin Wang has copies of Dragon Ball in his room, which is a fun reference. But to literally be like, no, this is the Monkey King. We're not like doing a reference to it. We're doing it. And we're pointing out how his story, in some views, is actually similar to the traditional American-born Chinese experience of, I don't like the way I look. I feel gross. I feel like I can't navigate spaces the way I want to. And learning to be like, oh, I'm actually really cool, and this is what makes me unique and special, is my cultural differences.
I think that is
we shouldn't erase those.
I think that is one criticism that I have of the book, where it kind of tells you, like, how, you know, you should be yourself and you should be your own culture, but doesn't really show too much in the way of, like, well, now what, you know, like, what does this mean to be Asian American in America, right? It kind of, like, yeah, you should accept yourself, but, like, what next is never really explored in that, you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was 2006, and I guess we still haven't really figured it out even till this day, right? And this is some kind of, like, hang up on my part, where it's like, you know, I feel like the most pressing, you know, Asian American identity is like, oh, look at my food, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, there's so much more to it. Some other things I really liked from the book, the moments where all three of the plots converge, and, like, Danny is like, and again, the stereotypes are so clear, he's like, wow, I have buck teeth. Like, a girl notices, like, your teeth are kind of big, and he's like, oh god, what's going on? I had forgotten the twist about Chinky, and I thought for some reason that the twist was that he was created by a white man, and that was the thing, is like, that he is supposed to be the embodiment of how white people think of Asian people.
Well, I think that is it for sure, but it's also, like, you know, the narrative, that's sort of the meta narrative.
Yes, very true. I think that there's a lot of fun interpretations of it. And that's why, like, this comic being so straightforward is fun, is you can interpret it and dig into whatever different parts of it. Like, I really liked the Monkey King plot, and I liked Jing Wang stuff, but I obviously felt a lot of discomfort with the whole Chinky thing, and I thought that... I think it's a valid complaint of the book that when the three plots converge, they all wrap up really smoothly. And it's just like, okay, Monkey King goes back to his world, Jin Wang learns to love being Asian, Chinky's gone. Like, done. And the book just ends.
Yeah.
We accept our Chinese identity, and it doesn't really leave anything open.
All right, so I guess we'll go to the central point. Do you think they should have changed Chinky in the show?
I'm happy with what they did with that character. I understand, this was like one of the other big things that you and I, like, discussed before this, was like, that's a huge choice. And we knew they were doing that from the trailers. Like, before you watch this, it was like, they are not doing Chinky. They're doing it completely differently. The show, just to get into it a little bit, the Disney Plus American Born Chinese adaptation, Harry and I watched the first two episodes of it for this. We're going to watch the rest later and talk more about it. Reinterprets it as, what is modern day anti-Asian racism look like? And what do stereotypes look like in a world that has thought for decades now that it is post-racism? What does racism actually look like? Because it's not, you know, high schools in America today you're not getting as much of people being like, your food is gross and your eyes are slanted and, like, you know, the quote-unquote low-level racism, right? Nowadays, it's way more systemic, and it's pointing out that, for example, the character that's equivalent to Chinky is Gehee Kwan's character, is a person on a TV, on a sitcom from the 80s, and people are like, that's problematic. We should boycott that because it's racist that he makes a funny voice.
But also, he's on TikTok as, like, a megastar again, which is really funny.
He's become successful because the old joke of, like, what could go wrong, and then a fan falls on his head and he's like, that passes out, is funny. It's like, it's actually pretty prescient, I think. And I don't know. I don't know high schoolers these days, but to my understanding, they're not experiencing the same type of racism that we were in our like middle and high school times.
Yeah, I think it's definitely
a different flavor.
It's definitely shifted the window a lot of like, oh, you can't just say slurs anymore. Although I did. Oops.
Yeah.
But
oops.
But like, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I definitely still think they should have kept it. That's my personal opinion. I think the character Chinky really, in my mind, forces you to explore, like, you know, what it is about. I think it's personally like the id of like Asian American stereotypes, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of, you know, I don't want to get too like, you know, hashtag like Asian like militant here, but I feel like no matter how far you get in this country, you will be a chinky.
Yeah.
And I think to address that is like, you know, it's stripped down to the most base parts so people think you're a coolie. Because that's what it's been in America for a while, you know? Think about how, like...
Yeah!
Think about how Shang-Chi is, like, the father... Shang-Chi's father is literally Fu Manchu, you know?
Right. In the comics, you mean?
Yeah. And they call him the Mandarin here because it's not okay to do that anymore.
Right, exactly. Well, so I think part of the issue is that this is a like TV series for kids. It like feels like that. And I wish that they would. Yeah, I wish that they would portray it as actually uncomfortable. Because the problem is that the equivalent, Kehi Kwan's character, it's not that it should feel really cringy. I think that's where the only places that it whiffs is Kehi Kwan's like really sweet. He won an Oscar. like he's a nice guy, and even like he's doing this accent and he's the butt of the joke. It doesn't, this is so weird to say, it's not racist enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we need to get people. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's very, I don't want to say sanitized because it's still pretty like bad stereotype, but it is very,
yes,
sanitized. How do you want to talk about like the show proper? I guess we're getting into it now. What do you think of it?
I guess we can talk about like what are the big differences, because yeah, some of the plots are just exactly the same, like Wei Chen, Jin Wang, basically identical. We lean a little bit more into Jin's like desire to integrate with friends here, with his white friends,
and it's set in high school now too, especially.
True. Yeah, because the original is based on Gene Luen Yang's time in the 1990s when he was in middle and high school, but this is now explicitly in high school, and it's like there's dating, there's clubs, it's a modern day thing. They have TikTok, they have cell phones. It's both discouraging and funny that like in any show that gets modernized, they have to introduce cell phones and it changes how people share information.
I think it's kind of cool.
There's this
whole
plot. This whole plot about Jin falls into like a mop and then like crashes into a trophy case, and it gets filmed and made into a TikTok and edited with the racist audio on TikTok. And the whole thing is like, we got to zoom in on the background and see the glass case. And that's how we know who the bully was. And it's like, oh boy, the internet is a very real and present thing in these kids' lives in a way it wasn't at all during the original book.
I do like the additions of like more fleshing out the family life of like, you know, it's going to be really personal, but I've the mom and dad argument of like, you know, them yelling at each other. I kind of relate to it a lot. And like,
yeah, of course.
I kind of understand trying to like throwing your friends under the bus to be cooler, you know, mm-hmm. is like a very prescient kind of like high school experience, which is mine too, you know. I just don't know if like it. I don't know if it should be. Some of the fleshing out I don't really like. Like, does that need to be necessary though? I guess they have to because it's such a short like graphic novel. They kind of, mm-hmm. like, flesh it out. I do really appreciate how, like, you know, in 2023, there's a show where there's just straight-up Mandarin for, like, multiple sentences. And right. I could understand it. I'm like, oh, wow, this is how... This could never be made 10 years ago.
No, for sure. Like, just subtitled Mandarin on a Disney Plus series. Get used to it, right?
Yeah.
They are pushing that, like, with Ms. Marvel and with Shang-Chi, like, this whole... We're going to have characters speak their language and not translate it for you, because that's how people speak to each other in America, even. I'm curious what fleshing out did you specifically not like? Because I liked some of it very much, and I want to fight with you.
I like the dad subplot. I'm not sure.
Yes! Okay.
The dad subplot was cool, but I don't know if it's necessary, you know?
Well, okay, so like, I think this is...
And I also kind of felt like, I don't know, they kind of changed, like, the, you know, like, there's a big evil thing of, like, you know, like...
Oh, the war or whatever.
Yeah, the war, and Wei Chen's, like, motivation in the book is, like, he is kind of supposed to be, like, a emissary to the people, which, in all honesty, in all disclaimer, I mean, Yang's, Jin Luen Yang's a heavy Christian, right? He's very Christian.
Oh, and, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I kind of view, like, the kind of character as, like, him being sent as, like, a son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a weird, interesting, you know, decision to make, where it's more of, like, an action fight scene. But I also really appreciate how, like, wuxia it is, you know? How, like, it looks like an old kung fu movie at points. So I'm like, that's pretty cool. I just don't know if they should have changed it, you know?
Yeah, but what's the alternative? Oh, he's a Roman Catholic. That's so interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess random diatribe, but, like, if you want to read another one of Young's work is Boxers and Saints, where essentially it covers the Taiping Rebellion, and, like, one of them's, like, a boxer who wants to get all the Chinese, like, all the Western influence out of China. Other one's, like, a converted Christian. And it's interesting. I like it a lot. I would recommend that a lot if you really want to learn about the Taiping Rebellion, which, you know, 30 million fucking people died. No one really talks about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, anyway.
I'm embarrassed to say the only other work of his that I've read are his Avatar comics, which are very good. They're like the Avatar The Last Airbender. He basically did sequels to the show that take place between Korra and Avatar, and they're excellent, all like five of them. But going back to the show, I loved the dad plot, and I think the reason it exists is not just because, like, this is 8 episodes, because that's not that many, you know, 8 30 to 45 minute episodes is not really that much, but it's enough that they have to put entirely new plot lines in. And I just think you don't get that every day. Like, you get characters, like, Jin's dad is a background character in any other version of this, where he just is looking at his newspaper and he's, like, a grumpy dad. But, like, we get to see what he does once Jin leaves. The perspective becomes on him and Jin's mom, and her being like, you need to learn to stand up for yourself. You're playing this, like, hard character in front of our son, but you're letting yourself get stepped on all over at work because of your race and because you don't feel like you're worth enough.
And he loves Bon Jovi, which is really funny.
Oh, God. And there is something to that, right? Of, like, when your parents are like first-generation immigrants, they sometimes gravitate towards certain pop culture in, like, really strong ways. Like, my dad is the equivalent of this is Celine Dion. My dad fucking loves Celine Dion very much. And we used to watch Titanic, like monthly, basically. And so, like... Jin's dad bonding with his boss who's about to quit over their mutual love of Bon Jovi is, like, a plot that I'm so curious to see how they handle and wrap up, because that none of that is in the comic, like, literally at all, and it's all entirely generated.
Speaking of side characters who get more to do, how do you feel about Suzy Nakamura basically being I don't know, I don't want to say parody of like activism from Zoomers, but seems like a very parody of Zoomer activism.
So I'm willing to hold out for what you're talking about. Like, I think she is right now definitely simple and, like, oh, she is she's just a girl who, like, starts protests and has chants about everything. But, like, I think that they're giving Suzy more to do than we think. I think she's going to have more of a plot line, because she's probably going to end up. Is she already dating Jin Weng by the end of this?
I don't think so.
I think they are just going to do that because that's what's in the book, but I could be wrong. I'm very curious how they handle it, because there's also this, like, white girl who likes Amelia, who actually clearly likes Jin, but just doesn't know how to tell him that. So she frames that as, like, oh, I'm awkward. Sorry, I don't know how to say I like you, because societally I'm not supposed to like you. But yeah, they really like, found different little plot lines in the book and said, what if we turned that into a whole thing?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see how it goes. I don't know how I feel about it, you know? Because, like, I guess they needed something for her to do, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it seems like kind of a... I can't tell if they're being genuine or not, or they're trying to be like a parody of like, should we stand up, or is this like we're kind of, she's like making it too much of like a big deal, you know?
I think because it's Disney, I'm gonna believe that they wouldn't get. And also, like, she's the girl from Turning Red. She's the star of Turning Red. So like, I don't think you get her and then don't do something interesting with that character, at least a little bit. It's just like and it's a kids show, like I said. So they're. I think that the activism is not ironic. It's not like, isn't she weird and stupid? It's, yeah. Sometimes people actually believe in this stuff and they commit to it, even though they seem like weirdos.
Maybe I'm just a cynical bastard. I kind of saw her with like the choker and like the tumbler glasses, and I'm like, oh god, is this like mid-2010s, yeah, like Tumblr activism kind of thing? But ultimately, I enjoy the changes. I guess I'm not a, I understand why they added like Kung Fu and Michelle Yeoh, but like, you know, I'm such a proponent of the book that I just really think it's kind of superfluous, but I'm happy it's there.
Yeah, I think it reminded me, actually, I know you didn't watch this, but Heartstopper was another really great comic that got adapted into a Netflix season. They're doing more of that show, but it's like about these two British teenagers who fall in love. And I read some of the comic and I had the same thought where I was like, it's so simple. Like the drawings are so simple. The plots are like, no, there's no conflict because it's supposed to be a queer love story with no major conflict. And then like the show is that, but it's way more interesting than the comic for me. And I'm wondering how, if I'm going to find this show to be more interesting than the comic when I'm done with it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I love the book. I love it. It's one of my favorite graphic novels, you know? It just means a lot to me, and I'm happy it exists. And I don't know, I just think the simplicity of it, it just really gets to the point, you know? There's no, like, mm-hmm, you know, fucking around the bush. That's not a term. You know, beating around the bush, but of like fucking around the bush. There's no fucking around. There's no fucking around, you know. It very much gets what it wants to say, and it really blends it together. I think the blending of it is what I miss the most, you know, of like
the plots.
Exactly. We know Wei Chen is already the son of the Monkey King, you know.
Yeah, weird choice.
I really do want to
just tell you that.
Do you think they're going to do whiteface?
What do you mean? Oh, like him becoming Danny?
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do whiteface?
I think they're going to just swap the actor. He's going to be in a white actor's body. And
but do you think they're
like,
even
oh my
gonna,
God.
Do you think they're even going to do it because the unfortunate problematic kind of thing?
I don't know. It's Disney. So they're going to try and be as sanitary about it as possible.
I think
if anything,
they should.
I think they should try it.
I think
yeah.
they should, but like part of me thinks they're going to chicken out because it's going to be like, you know, controversy.
No, my real guess is that they're gonna young adult novel it, and we're gonna get the audio narration of Jin Wang being like, I'm in a white guy's body, what's going on? It's just gonna be a white actor. Like, they're not gonna do a whiteface thing, even though that is kind of technically whiteface, I guess. Just not literally. He's not painting, he's not changing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do kind of think I think a little bit is kind of lost by just plopping him directly to high school, you know? Like, kids are mean, you know, people don't know where you're from or care to know where you're from, you know? It's a lot of that, like, a lot of that early childhood stuff where kids are probably the cruelest and, like, really shapes your psyche, you know?
Yeah.
Makes
it. Well, it what's interesting is the high school kids and the bullies of the show are, like, they're racist in a way that's hard to get you in trouble for because they're not, like, saying slurs to you. Well, they kind of are. Some of the kids are just, like, calling him shit. But they'll go up to like, Wei Jin and be like, oh, what are you eating? Cool. All right. Hey, anyways. And, like, they ignore him because it's, like, deliberate negligence. And then they make memes about him behind his back. And Greg tells Jin Wang, like, hey, I will drop the case on you if you drop the case on me. Like, that is the type of systemic racism these kids engage in.
Yeah. I
not,
think
like,
straight-up racism, yeah.
It is. It's just, it's like I said, it's the kind of racism that doesn't get you in trouble with the principal.
Yeah.
Because it looks clean on paper. Like, I didn't say anything to him. I just ignored him and, you know, made him do what I told him to do. Which I think is so interesting. Because I don't think, like, I'm a child of the 90s. I watched a lot of, like, TV shows and movies that had bullies. And bullies were always portrayed as, like, hey, fuckface! Yeah, and then they would, like, you know, say the slurs. Because, like, it didn't seem weird for the bullies to just say, like, they're supposed to be bad people. But these villains are more like sinister in a way. The bullies in American Born Chinese, the show, are more sinister than they are in the comic. I think that's interesting. Because it's, like I said, it's something that the kids these days can actually relate to instead of, wow, that's really fucked up. Anyways.
Yeah.
How do you feel about... Go ahead.
You first.
Your question.
No, I was kind of...
How do you feel about the performances? Like, who are there, like, any standouts for you?
I think the main character of Jin Wong does really well. He is a very... He's a very genuine, like, 10th grade Asian guy. Or even a teenager, honestly, who has no idea what the fuck he wants to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I totally could... I totally buy the fact that he, like, sold his friend, his nerd friend out for, like, coming in full cosplay to go hang... To, like, you know, come in full Naruto cosplay. And he, like, didn't stand up for him because he would, you know, get bullied by the soccer guys he wants to impress.
That plot made me so sad, dude.
But, like, I was that guy on both ends, you know? I feel mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, it's this implied, like, trauma that they go into detail on in, like, episode 2, that Jin has this, like, Indian friend named Anuj, who is a cosplayer who was, like, in, like you said, Naruto cosplay. People made fun of him, and Jin Wang, like, never said anything about it. So, when they have a conversation, he's like, oh, you're one of my only high school friends. Very relatable experience. You only have a couple friends. Why don't you want to talk to me anymore? Well, you didn't fucking stand up for me. That's, like, the basic thing a friend does, and you didn't even do that because you more cared about people liking you. So I think the guy, yeah, who's playing Jin is very committed to, I need white people to like me. I need to be good in soccer and stuff.
Yeah. I guess other funny things would be, like, him, like, he shoplifts, like, a jacket that's too expensive for, like, his mom at, like, a Target. But he, like, rips off the magnetic tag. I'm like, goddamn, dude, you are, like, Herculean. Because, like, that is incredibly hard to do. And another thing is, this is a personal criticism, if you're really in the know for Asian listeners. But, like, I don't think Wei Chen dresses fobby enough. Can I say that? I can say that.
No.
Yeah, I can say that.
The best they do, I mean, I can say, I used that term a lot in high school. In fact.
But, like, you know, when you're walking down your, like, a city with Asians and Asian Americans, you can kind of immediately tell if they, like, are off the boat, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, well, I'm talking, like...
They attempt to be like, oh, what's that shirt from? And he's like, oh, it's available in China. You can buy it online. But it's, like, kind of just a cool shirt. It's not, like, that weird.
No, but, like, I'm talking about, like, a very distinct sense of style of, like, if you actually came off, like, you know, if you're, like, a Chinese student, like, they dress, like, very, like, I don't know. Do the words fear of God essentials and, like, supreme mean anything to you? They dress a very typical way, is all I'm going to say.
Fall Raven cranking. Or whatever.
Yeah, a little bit of, like, platform Converse.
Yes, yes, yes. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Yeah, I think if they really wanted to lean into it, then...
Hire me, costume designers. Like, hire me. I'll walk around flush and take pictures. Yeah, I doxed myself where I was. Fuck. Bleep that out.
Oopsie. I'll bleep that out. I got you.
Yeah, gotcha.
Well, yeah, Wei Chen could be a little bit more cringe. Like, they just, like, lean into it. That's what the show is about. It's supposed to feel awkward. Like, whatever. The way that they portray Wei Chen as awkward is he goes like, hey, Jin Wang, hello, my friend, I'm here. And just, like, waves to him.
He's like a robot. He's not actually, like, what, you know, I feel like he doesn't capture the, you know, awkwardness of
embarrassing friend vibe, yeah.
Of, like, not really understanding American culture. He kind of gets that, but it's kind of, like, in a weird way, you know? Like, not actually what I would feel like that would be. But... It's all just nitpick at this point. I'll still watch it, you know? I'm pretty interested where it goes. I just think, you know, can it hold a candle to the book? No. But does it have to be? Also, no.
It loses the fangs, but instead we get character development. I would say that's how I feel about it. And the fangs mattered. Like, the bite of and biting satire. Again, it was very much advertised as, like, a reunion of the Everything Everywhere All at Once cast. And, like, Michelle Yeoh seems fine in it so far. We saw her for, like, 5 minutes. She seems cool. And Gaehee Kwan's character is such a friendly version of Chinky that it's the commentary no longer works when you cast a, like, affable actor like him.
It kind of works, but, like, in a different way that I don't really see is, you know.
You feel bad for him instead of, like, oh, my God, this is making me uncomfortable. You're like, oh,
yeah,
did he know?
The uncomfortableness is the point.
Yes. So. that I think we're in agreement
there. Yeah, totally. I guess that's all we have to say. Yeah, that's all I have to really say. Read the book, I guess.
Yeah, read the book. I want to have more thoughts about the cast, but we just haven't seen enough of everyone. Very excited to see the dad's plotline fleshed out more. Want to see what happens with Anuj and Jin. And then, yeah, wherever, how does the Monkey King plotline intersect? That's my last question mark. It's gotten good reviews. Like, my roommate and his girlfriend watched all 8 episodes in like 2 days because they both loved it. Neither of them has ever read the book. And they were like, it's really good and relatable and talks a lot about stereotypes in a cool way. My roommate is also of Chinese descent.
So, I think you should pass from the book and be like, hey.
I literally today they were in the kitchen cooking. They had to go on like a weekend trip and I was like, hey, you want to take this book with you? And they were like, oh, we'll read it when we get back. I'm like, it'll be here for you. Because it's so brief and I bought a physical copy of it. So now I can, you and I had joked like, oh, why didn't I get it from my local library? Because like we said, this book is in circulation everywhere. But now I can give it to anyone I want and be like, read American Born Chinese, learn about stereotypes.
I think, you know, the book kind of really captures the zeitgeist of like, it was okay to be like outwardly racist towards Asian people. And it's like, kids these days will not really understand, you know, because I think after like, you know, Asian American like activism in 2020, like it was totally okay to be that. It was totally okay to like, it was okay to be outwardly racist towards Asian Americans. I still think it is, if you really want to get down to like the baseline of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
okay in the sense that people are doing it, not okay in the sense that it's
obviously.
Like,
you know, it like 20, like Dolce and Gabbana, like straight up were like had an advertisement with like an Asian model, like with chopsticks, and I think it was a dog or a cat, right? And then they doubled down again when like Asian people called them out on it, and they predictably lost all their business because Chinese people buy luxury goods a lot. Right. But that was 4 years, 5 years ago. You know, it was okay. Like, South Park was okay, man. Like, Family Guy was incredibly racist towards Asians. A lot of this shit was racist, you know? Like,
yeah,
and no one said anything, because no one gave a fuck. And no people, I would argue people still don't give a fuck.
I think we just see it, we think of it differently. And like I said, it's the way that these bullies handle it, where it's like, we're not going to say it, but we all think it. Like, it's definitely as bad as it's ever been. I go and actually ask somebody who's racist what they think about Asian people or like what they know about Asian culture. And I swear to you, you're going to get tons of people, especially in the US, who say shit like, do they eat dogs? Do they talk a certain way? Why do they smell a certain way? Like, it's fucking ghoulish and real. And we can't just hide our kids from it.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Can you look up like how much percent of Asian Americans there are in America? I don't think it's like 13%. It might be even like 5%.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Quick Google search says 7.3% of the entire U.S. population.
Yeah. And it's all located mostly either in, you know, East Coast, like Northeast or California. And maybe a little bit of like in Texas or Minnesota. So like, I would hazard a good majority of Americans have never, ever, there's a good chance a couple of like Americans have never met Asian people before. And like, they're only like, ever like stereotypes are like the only people they've ever met are like or seen on TV is, you know, Andrew Yang, which I want to beat him up, and William Hung, you know, that's it, you know,
who got a terrible rap
exactly, and that was Asian American representation other than everyone everywhere EEAO, you know.
Yes.
So this is kind of like a dire state, and it's like, I don't know, I'm not gonna assign, you know, value judgment to most of America, but like, I would wager that a large portion of people have never met, you know, Asian people or interacted with them. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think where the show actually got me, and I was like, that made me the right amount of uncomfortable, is when Jin Wang's crush, her friend, I think, yeah, Amelia's friend is like, oh, by the way, BTS is my favorite band ever. And like, K-pop has been the bridging of like Asian culture that is palatable to white people because of business reasons. Like, BTS is appealing to American people to Western audiences because they choose to do that because they're going to get your money. That's just what being a pop music group is about. Yeah. It's not because you like Asian culture, it's because they're pandering to you.
That line was like the Get Out line of like, I would have voted for Barack Obama thrice if I could.
Yeah. BTS is my favorite group. Like, let's fucking go. Say it.
Yeah, I love know Chinese people like food. This. I love orange chicken. Like, fuck out of here, please.
Yeah. Go and actually support.
But what does that even mean? But I guess that's a conversation out of, like, the purview of this podcast.
Absolutely. Like, just be decent. You know, treat Asian people like they're people, right? Like, and don't put them into a box. Actually ask them about their culture and what they do. It's hard.
Yeah. But anyway. That's yeah, 10. I guess 8 out of 10 for the book. Or 8.5 out of 10 for the book. But, yeah. What do you give it as a out of 10?
For just the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say a solid 8. I wouldn't give it much higher than an 8 because it's a little bit slight, but a comfortable 8. And tentatively enjoying the show. I'm really interested in how they're continuing plot lines. Like, it's because it's 8 episodes and it's a modern streaming show, every storyline has to continue into each episode and then eventually conclude. It's not just like story of the week. I'm curious about it.
Right. Okay.
I want to watch more.
Yeah, same. I'm enjoying my time.
We'll see what happens to Susie and Jin and Wei Chen and the Monkey King and all that good stuff when we come back to discuss the rest of American Born Chinese, the Disney Plus series, episodes 3 to 8, and how they handle the rest of the story. Harry, thank you for being here for this first half of our discussion. This was very off the cuff. I literally texted Magellan that we were doing this today.
Nice.
Yeah, he's been busy, and we've both been busy with like other chat stuff. So it was like, I can get myself to do this at 11 o'clock on a Friday, but I can't reliably get both of us on. So that being said, it was nice to mix things up and discuss something with my buddy Harry, who is not on enough podcasts.
I really am. Aren't? Is that dramatically? It's a passion project for me, I guess, for this talking about this. I don't get too many avenues to talk about comic books, so, you know.
I'm happy to enable it. But is there anywhere that people can find you online?
Sometimes I'm on Scatline Media, Partners in Crime. I'm just sometimes on their podcast. You should check them out, though. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, patreon.com/scanlinemedia. The only reason we didn't make this a Scanline show is it has nothing to do with anime. So, and it's the only TV they really talk about.
And neither of us are actual Scatline Media members on the masthead. So
on the masthead, yeah. We're not literally official. We're both contributors, so I poached Terry and made it a chat thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be back whenever we record the second one to talk about the second half of the show. So thanks, Harry.
I want to plug one more thing, all right? So
Do it!
If anyone wants the C word pass, I'm selling for $20 a pop, okay?
Whoa. All right, give me your Venmo.
Pass me the Venmo, okay? Catch you later.
That's the ox. Peace.